I'm sure there are some people listening to me now who are in what seem to them like absolutely impossible places.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Jobless. I know that must be one of the toughest situations. I can hardly imagine how painful it would be for a man or a woman who has dependents, and it's not just yourself, but it's other people, and I just know it must be hard. But this, too, like everything else in life, puts our faith to the test, doesn't it? And what is this thing called Christian faith all about? To put it as simply as I know how, it means trust and obedience. Believing that God means just exactly what He says and doing what He tells us. I get letters from people sometimes who say, "I wish I could grow spiritually, but..." And then they tell me a long story about how their circumstances have prevented spiritual growth. Circumstances can't prevent spiritual growth. People throughout all of human history have grown spiritually in the most unthinkable kinds of circumstances. And I have a letter that I want to read for you today, which is a testimony to what Christian faith means in the tough situations in life. Where and how do people grow spiritually? Well, this letter is from Bob McMaster in Sioux City, Iowa. And I do want to thank you, Bob, for writing this letter, and I think it'll be an encouragement to many. "Tonight you mentioned on your program," he says, "that you receive letters telling how God blesses us through difficult and undesirable circumstances. And given the fact that I am temporarily cooped up in a small apartment with no distractions to divert my energies, I've decided to be productive and write you. Writing down my thoughts will help me confirm them as well as support what you said in your program. Had I known a year ago what 1992 would bring, I would have told God, 'No way.' Yet it has been a year of spiritual growth and maturing for all our family. And God looked on our 1992 with His eternal perspective, as opposed to our finite, short-term outlook. While it hasn't been happy all year, it has been a year of joy. January 26 was the day my dad of 84 years suddenly went to be with the Lord. We had planned a family get-together in Chicago to celebrate Mom's 80th birthday that weekend. Instead, we all gathered in Wahoo, Nebraska for a beautiful funeral service where an overflow crowd heard a gospel sermon which recognized our sorrow while celebrating Dad's crossing the Great Divide into God's eternal kingdom. Because most of our family are now Christians, I believe many people saw a difference between the reactions they may have seen at other funerals versus the hope and positiveness of ours. Not that we didn't grieve, but we could be so thankful for Dad's life and influence on us and the community in which he lived. A month later, February 19th, I lost my job of nearly 24 years. This was a downsizing prior to a later announcement of the plant closing. When you are close to 52 years young, have a good salary, a new home, a son still in high school, and haven't put much thought into resume writing for 24 years, it can be quite challenging. Again, I'm thankful that I got some severance pay and that our church began a weekly support group meeting for the unemployed soon thereafter. I set a goal and felt good about getting another job by June 1st and staying in Omaha. Little did I know that I wouldn't start work until November 9th, and it would be in Sioux City. This was a time of spiritual growth for both my wife and me. God showed us encouragement through His Word, each other, tremendously faithful friends, our pastors, and others outside the church. We certainly have a greater understanding and empathy for the unemployed who are diligently seeking work but can't find a job. One friend who also started work in November had been unemployed 2 years, another for over a year. Yet another who is still underemployed has been looking for 1.5 years. But God is faithful and gave each of us the ability to be positive and not bitter, to get up each morning and make more contacts. In July, we got to rejoice over the birth of our first grandchild to our daughter and son-in-law in Dallas. How great that is. And we got to see them here in Nebraska for Christmas, too. Finally, I want to mention how God has also brought another new perspective into my life. I've never experienced loneliness and felt I had the capacity to avoid that because I always have so much to do and have been fairly independent, enjoying others but not needing them. Pride? Because Sioux City and my job are 105 miles from home, I had to find an apartment to live in during the week for a few months till we arranged to move. I now have a glimpse of loneliness. Sunday nights were especially difficult, having been home Saturday and Sunday, then driving back to the deserted apartment Sunday evening. Coming here the Sunday following Christmas was even worse, since all our family had been together for 4 days. Then I think of my mother and mother-in-law, who are both widows. What must they feel? No one to come home to, no one to tell of the exciting things of the day, no one to bounce things off of, decisions to make all by yourself, etc., etc. May God always remind us to call them regularly, send notes, visit them often, and care about them. Certainly God didn't give us life to live to the fullest in fulfilling our own desires. We are here to bring glory to Him as He prepares us for eternity. We are aliens, not citizens of earth. We have hope that only He can give, and with hope comes joy and contentment, regardless of circumstances. Thank you for your ministry. May God continue to bless you as you serve Him. Thank you, Bob McMaster. Note how different God's plans are from our own. He knows exactly what it takes to mature us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That He knows what it takes to mature us? That He has plans for bringing us to that maturity? Will you trust Him? Will you obey Him? Will you do exactly what He says? That's the question put to you and me daily, isn't it? His father's death, the loss of a job, praise, Thanksgiving, a church group, and then completely out of a job between February and November. And yet, here's a letter full of praise, the recognition that God is still in charge, that He is loving us every minute. I don't know your situation today. I'm sure there are some people listening to me now who are in what seem to them like absolutely impossible places. You can't extricate yourself. You can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. You can't even in your wildest imaginings imagine a solution. Maybe you're saying, Lord, get me out of here. Change this situation. Ask yourself this question. Do I love Him? Will I trust Him? Can I praise Him? Try expressing that love for Him right now. Try trusting Him. Try praising Him. Praise can make a very big difference in your life. And there's a poem written by William Cullen Bryant in 1815 when he was forlorn and desolate, wondering how to find a job as a lawyer. He went for a walk. It was sunset, and he saw a solitary bird fly across that sunset and disappear. The first three stanzas of the poem ask where the bird is going and why. And then he tells us the lesson that God gave him just through seeing the flight of that bird. There is a power whose care teaches thy way along the pathless coast, the desert, and illimitable air, lone wandering, but not lost. All day thy wings have fanned at that far height the cold, thin atmosphere. Yet stoop not, weary, to the welcome land, though the dark night is near. Thou'rt gone. The abyss of heaven hath swallowed up thy form. Yet on my heart deeply has sunk the lesson thou hast given, and shall not soon depart. He who from zone to zone guides through the boundless sky thy certain flight, in the long way that I must tread alone, will lead my steps aright. Any of you out of a job? Think of the solitary bird. Who cared for him? Who was leading him along the pathless coast? The same power. Who cares for you? I'll read the poem one more time. There is a power whose care teaches thy way along the pathless coast, the desert and illimitable air, not lone wandering, but not lost. All day thy wings have fanned at that far height the cold, thin atmosphere, yet stoop not, weary, to the welcome land, though the dark night is near. Thou'rt gone, the abyss of heaven hath swallowed up thy form. Yet on my heart deeply has sunk the lesson thou hast given and shall not soon depart. He who from zone to zone guides through the boundless sky thy certain flight, in the long way that I must tread alone, will lead my steps aright.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.